The color cowardice displayed in me when I saw that my guide was driven back made him more quickly mask his own new pallor. He stood alert, like an attentive listener, because his eye could hardly journey far across the black air and the heavy fog. "We have to win this battle," he began. "If not..." But one so great had offered help. How slow that someone's coming seems to me. But I saw well enough how he had covered his first words with the words that followed after, so different from what he had said before. Nevertheless, his speech made me afraid, because I drew out from his broken phrase a meaning worse, perhaps, than he'd intended. Does anyone from the first circle, one whose only punishment is crippled hope, ever descend so deep in this sad hollow? That was my question, and he answered so. "It is quite rare for one of us to go along the way that I have taken now, but I, in truth, have been here once before. That savage witch, Erichtho, she who called the shades back to their bodies, summoned me. My flesh had not long been stripped off when she had me descend through all the rings of hell to draw a spirit back from Judas' circle. That is the deepest and the darkest place, the farthest from the heaven that girds all. So rest assured, I know the pathway well. This swamp that breeds and breathes one giant stench surrounds the city of the sorrowing, which now we cannot enter without anger." And he said more, but I cannot remember, because my eyes had wholly taken me to that high tower with the glowing summit, where at one single point there suddenly stood three infernal furies flecked with blood, who had the limbs of women and their ways, but wore as girdles snakes of the deepest green. Small serpents and horned vipers formed their hair, and these were used to bind their bestial temples. And he who knew these handmaids well, they served the queen of never-ending lamentation, he said, "Look at the ferocious Erinyes. That is Megara on the left, and she who weeps upon the right, that is Alecto. Tisiphone's between them." He was done. Each fury tore her breast with taloned nails. Each with her palms beat on herself and wailed so loud that I, in fear, drew near the poet. "Just let Medusa come. Then we shall turn him into stone," they all cried, looking down. "We should have punished Theseus' assault. Turn around and keep your eyes shut fast, for should the Gorgon show herself and you behold her, never again would you return above," my master said. And he himself turned me around, and not content with just my hands, used his as well to cover up my eyes. "Oh, you possessed of sturdy intellects, observe the teaching that is hidden here beneath the veil of verses so obscure. And now across the turbid waves, there passed a rebelantic fracas, horrid sound, enough to make both of the shorelines quake. A sound not other than a wind's when, wild because it was contained with warmer currents, it strikes against the forest without let, shattering, beating down, bearing off branches as it moves proudly, clouds of dust before it, and puts to flight both animals and shepherds. He freed my eyes and said, "Now let your optic nerve turn directly toward that ancient foam, there where the mist is the thickest and most acrid. As frogs confronted by their enemy, the snake will scatter underwater till each hunches in a heap along the bottom. So did the thousand ruined souls I saw take flight before a figure crossing Styx, who walked as if on land and with dry soles." He thrust away the thick air from his face, waving his left hand frequently before him. That seemed the only task that wearied him. I knew well he was heaven's messenger, and I turned toward my master, and he made a sign that I be still and bow before him. How full of high disdain he seemed to me. He came up to the gate, and with a wand he opened it, for there was no resistance. O you cast out of heaven, hated crowd, were his first words upon that horrid threshold. Why do you harbor this presumptuousness? Why are you so reluctant to endure what will whose aim can never be cut short, and which so often added to your hurts? What good is it to thrust against fates? You, Cerberus, if you remember well for that, had both his throat and chin stripped clean. At that he turned and took the filthy road and did not speak to us, but had the look of one who is obsessed by other cares than those that press and gnaw at those before him. And we moved forward, on into the city in safety, having heard his holy words. We made our way inside without a struggle, and I, who wanted so much to observe the state of things that such a fortress guarded, as soon as I had entered, looked about. I saw on every side a spreading plain of lamentation and atrocious pain. Just as at Arles, where the Rhone becomes a marsh, just as at Pola, near Quarnero's Gulf, that closes Italy and bathes its borders, the sepulchres make all the plain uneven. And so they did here on every side, except that here the sepulchres were much more harsh. Flames were scattered through the tombs, and these had kindled all of them to glowing heat. No artisan could ask for hotter iron. The lid of every tomb was lifted up, and from each such sorry cries arose as could come only from the sad and hurt. And I said, Master, who can these people be, who buried in great chests of stone like these, must speak by way of sighs in agony? And he to me, here are arch-heretics and those who followed them from every sect. Those tombs are much more crowded than you'd think. Here he has been entombed with like. Some monuments are heated more, some less. And then he turned around and to his right. We passed between the torments and high walls.